Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Yotesh. We will begin on Daf Yotches on the base, 14 lines from the bottom, the words Bishlama Yovim Vachach Noilat. As we have learned in the previous shiur, the Torah tells us Eishes Achiv Shlohayi Ba'alamai, if two brothers were not in the world at the same time, the brother who was only born after his brother died without children is not to do Yibum HaChalitza with his sister-in-law, his brother's widow. That's the Pasuk in the Torah. Eishes Achiv Shlohayi Ba'alamai. As we learned, the Pasuk says, Ki Yeshvu Achim Yachtov. But we had a Machlaikis, Rabbanon Reb Shimon. The Rabbanon take that din literally. In any situation where there's a sister-in-law who was a brother who was not in the world together with another brother, that brother's widow, the brother who died before his other brother died, his wife will never be a candidate for Yibum HaChalitza from her new brother-in-law. And as we learned, she would even exempt Hatzara. Rav Shimon disagrees. Rav Shimon says that if Reuven passed away, and then Shimon took Reuven's wife into Yibum, and then Levi was born, so when Levi came to the world, he found Reuven's wife already married to Shimon. He doesn't know any history. Matzah beheter, as the Gemara calls it. And therefore, Levi, if Shimon dies without children, would do Yibum or Chalitza to either of Shimon's wives, his wife, or even the wife that he took after Reuven passed away. Rabbi Oishia, at the end of the previous year, explained Rabbi Shimon's position in a very lenient way. He says, certainly in a situation that Reuven dies, Shimon takes Reuven's widow in Yibum, and only then Levi is born. So he said a moment ago, when Levi was born, he finds already Shimon, Reuven's wife as Shimon's wife. He doesn't know anything about the past history. She is a candidate for Yibum HaChalitza to Levi. But he said even another din. Let's say when Reuven passed away, and after Reuven died, Levi was born. And only after Levi was born did Shimon take Reuven's widow as a Yevama, as a wife, and then Shimon passes away without children. Says Rav Oishia that even under those circumstances, Rav Shimon would be lenient and say that when Shimon dies, Levi could take either of Shimon's wives as a Yevama. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Yavam, Vachkach Noilet, in a situation where Shimon took Reuven's wife as a Yevama, and only afterwards, Vachkach Noilet, Levi was born. So Ki Ashkecha, Beter Ashkecha, when Shimon dies, all he knows is that this woman was Shimon's wife. He doesn't know anything about the previous history. However, asked the Gemara, Noilet, Vachkach Yibeim, in a situation where Reuven died, and then Levi was born, and only afterwards did Shimon marry Reuven's widow, my Tama. Why, according to Rav Oishia, is Rav Shimon lenient even there? Answers the Gemara, Ksava Yeh Zika. Rav Shimon is a mandama, as we've discussed in the previous year, that holds Zika, that the moment Reuven dies, Shimon has a Zika, has a relationship with Reuven's widow, and he goes even a step further, but Zika Kiknusa Damya. So it makes no difference, says Rabbi Oishia, if Shimon actually took Reuven's widow as his wife. The moment Reuven died, the halacha looks at her as his wife. Why? Because Zika Kiknusa. And as Mepharshim have a number of ways of explaining this. Some explain, very simply, that Yeh Zika, as we discussed in the previous year, there's a Shaila Zika, a Deraisa or Derabanan. And Rav Shimon, according to Rabbi Oishia's understanding, Rav Shimon holds that the concept of Zika is Midaraisa, and therefore it forms a very strong bond between Reuven's widow and Shimon. Others explain that even if you hold Zika as a Deraisa, not a new concept, there's a concept of Yeh Zika, which we've been discussing, and now Rav Shimon added a new concept. Even if you hold Yeh Zika, that doesn't mean Zika Kiknusa. Now comes Rav Shimon to teach us there's another concept called Zika Kiknusa. But that is a question that the Achronim ask. If Zika is so strong that, let's understand the situation, Reuven dies, and Shimon is Reuven's brother, And Zika Keknusa says that the halacha looks at Reuven's widow as if she's already married to Shimon. What would be the halacha if in this time, before Shimon actually took her as a Yavama, actually took her as a wife, let's say she had relations with another man, would she be considered an Eishes Ish that had relations with another man? So all the achronim, it's clear in the Gemara, will say that she's not considered an Eishes Ish. If we're saying Zika Keknusa, why not? So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is a terutz that Rabbi Baruch Ber gives in the Birkas Shmuel. He says, even if we hold Zika Keknusa, it's a nuke status. There's a concept in Halacha called Zika Keknusa. She's your wife through Zika. But that's not the concept of Eishes Ish. Where did the Torah speak about an Eishes Ish having relations with another man? Well, she's considered an Eishes Ish. Zika Keknusa is a new status called Zika Keknusa. Reb David Pavarsky, I saw, says a different teretz. Interesting teretz. He says, this, the best proof that she's not considered an Eishes Ish is what is the halacha of man is married to a woman? How is that marriage dissolved, if he doesn't die, with a get? What would be the halacha with this woman, who's the Zika, Reuven's widow to Shimon, and he wants to dissolve that relationship? Is a get going to dissolve that relationship? Certainly not. What is the only way to dissolve that relationship? Chalitza. So that's the proof that she's not an Eishes Ish. Because were she an Eishes Ish, why is a get not required? So that's why, even though the Gemara is attributing to Rav Shimon such a powerful concept of Zika Keknusa, it doesn't mean that she's an Eishes Ish. Ask the Gemara, Maskela, Rav Yosef, Hashta, Zika, Maimer. The Gemara is going to prove where we have a situation of Zika coupled with Maimer. Mesap Galel Rav Shimon, we're going to see in the Gemara that we're about to learn. The Rav Shimon is not certain. Ike Knusa Damya, like a Knusa Damya, if she's really considered Shimon's wife. So how can you ask Rav Yosef, Rav Oisha, suggest Zika L'chudei, that Zika alone makes her be considered like his wife? Says Ramayi, what is Rav Yosef referring to? The Tanan. There's a Mishnah we're going to learn. The Mishnah says, Shloisha Achim Nesum Shalosh Nashim Nechroyas. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are married to three women. Omeis Echad Mehem. And Reuven passes away. V'asaba Sheni Maimer. And Shimon goes and does Maimer, which we've been describing is a Drabotan requirement to one's Yivoma. V'asaba Sheni Maimer. Shimon does Maimer. And before he could actually do Yibum, the Mace. So Shimon dies. So as we learned in two Mishnais that we learned in this parak, so the Rabbanan have a question. What does Maimer accomplish? Does Maimer accomplish that this woman, that Shimon did Maimer with Reuven's widow, is she considered Shimon's wife? And therefore when Shimon dies, he had two wives, and Levi, and here we're not dealing with a situation of Eishes Achav Shloyei Balamai. Levi will now do Yibum, and he has a choice to do Yibum with either of them. Or on the other hand, perhaps the Maimer isn't really halachically midaraisa nothing, and the only wife that Levi should be looking as two separate women, one was Reuven's wife, one was Shimon's wife. So the halacha, this is the way the Rabbanan interpret the halacha, look at this Maimer wife as a quasi-wife. So therefore the halacha, and as we learned this in both Mishnayos in this parak, teach us, harei olecholtzus v'loi misyabmais. Shimon's wives, one was his full-fledged wife, and one was his wife through Maimer. Both of them are candidates for Chalitza. He has to do Chalitza with both of them, and Yibum with neither. Shinemar, Umeis Echmehem, Yavama Yava Aleha, Mishaleh Zikas Yavim Echot, Reuven's widow, V'loi Shaleh, V'loi Mishaleh Shnekes Shnei Yavam. Reuven's widow comes to Levi with two relationships. She comes in a relationship because of being Reuven's widow. That was never really taken care of. Maimer doesn't accomplish taking care of that. On the other hand, she's somewhat Shimon's wife because Shimon made Maimer to her. And this is an asmachta. We said this already once. And therefore, this is a situation where both women get chalitza. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon disagrees. And the basis, as the Rishonim explain, for Rav Shimon disagreement, because the Rabbanan, as we just said, look at a Maimer wife as a quasi-wife. She's not really a full-fledged wife. She's not really not a wife at all. Rav Shimon's attitude is very different. It is or it isn't. It is or it isn't. If Maimer works, it works all the way. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work at all. And therefore he says, Yabim l'ezeh she'irtza v'chayot l'shniya. What does he say? Let's understand Rav Shimon's logic. If Rav Shimon holds the Maimer made her be Reuven's wife, Shimon's full-fledged wife, so now Levi could do Yibam with either of them, and that will take care of Shimon's family being rebuilt. If, on the other hand, Maimer is nothing, because according to Rav Shimon, it's either everything or nothing, so then she's still Reuven's wife, and Levi has to do two Yibams, one for his brother Reuven, and one for his brother Shimon. Since we don't know, so no matter what he does, one wife, one of these two women you should do Yibam for, and one of them you should do Chalitza for. However, to do Yibam to both of them is not an option according to Reb Shimon. Because as we just said, in the Dilma Yezika, maybe this relationship that we have between Shimon and Reuven's widow is a full-fledged relationship. She's already considered Shimon's wife. So then she and Shimon's wife are coming from both from Shimon. They're both coming as Shimon's wife. So that's why you can't do Yibam to both, because you only can do Yibam to one widow from one home. On the other hand, to do Yibam to one of these two wives, and not have to do anything with the other wife, that's also not an option. Why? Maybe just because Shimon did Maimer with Reuven's widow, the halacha doesn't view that as anything. So Reuven's widow comes from Reuven. Shimon's widow comes from Shimon. Levi has responsibility to both of his brothers. And therefore, he has to do Yibam with one and Chalitza with the other. But obviously, what does Rav Shimon hold? Alma Mesapkele. Rav Shimon obviously has a suffix. What does Zika accomplish? We started the shiur saying that Rav Oishia holds that according to Rav Shimon, Zika Keknusa. Once the Zika, she's considered his complete wife. So maybe you want to suggest that of course Midaraisa, Rav Oishir, Rav Shimon hold that as soon as Reuven dies, Shimon is considered a full-fledged husband to Reuven's widow. However, Midaraisa, it should be, since she's considered Shimon's full-fledged wife, so by doing Yibam to one of his two wives, it exempts the other wife. Because only, like we just said, bias, he only does Yibam with one wife. However, it's Mirabonim who Hudrasa. Here it's a special Gzeira Midrabonim. Gzeira, Shuma Shem Yoim Ubeiz Yevomis Abois Mishnei Batim. We're concerned that if we're not going to require that Levi do something to each of the widows, there's a concern that in a case where we have these two widows clearly coming from two different homes, we also will only do Yibam Achlitza with one and ignore the other. But that's a situation that everybody agrees you have to take care of both women. So to avoid such a confusion, even in this case where halachically it would not be required, Rav Shimon says you should do it. So Rashi and Tosfos ask an obvious question. If Rav Shimon holds Zika Keknusa, let's think it through together. The moment Reuven dies, Zika Keknusa tells us that Reuven's widow is considered Shimon's wife. So how could you ever have a circumstance that it should not be considered Shimon's wife, that we have to worry that this woman's coming from Reuven and this woman is coming from Shimon? So Rashi explains, and we'll have this Gemara shortly, that there is a concept of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, that what would be if Reuven and Shimon both died at the exact moment, same moment? There these two women come simultaneously to Levi, and there everybody agrees, even if you hold Zika Keknusa, that he has to take care of both wives. So because of that circumstance, you have to, under all circumstances, Chazal made a gzeira that he should do Yibam to one, and Chalitza to the other, or Yibam, or Chalitza to both. Taisa says a different teretz. Taisa says, why would we be aloch if there's three wives, three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi? But Shimon's wife is a relative to Reuven's wife. So now when Reuven dies, she's a relative to Shimon, not to Levi. So when Reuven dies, who does she have Zika to? Levi. Now when Shimon dies, not to Shimon, because you can't have Zika with somebody who's your wife's relative. Now when Shimon dies, who does Shimon's wife have Zika to? Also to Levi. That's the only brother left. So you have a situation that the two wives coming from two homes, there Levi would have to take care of both of them. That's why Chazal made Gzeiros. Gzeir Mishum Shem Yoimru, Beis Yevamos Habayis Mishnei Batim, Chadim Miyavma, Vayidach Nifter B'loi Klum. Ask the Gemara, that's why Rav Shimon said this halacha. Ask the Gemara, for Talmud Rav Shimon, if we learn this brisa, the brisa clearly indicates that Rav Shimon's basis in Shemaim of Alive Maimahu. That has nothing to do just with Zika, that the concept here is because Shimon already did Maimer and Reuven's widow. The Tanya, as the brisa says, Omelhem Rav Shimon l'chachamim, Rav Shimon responded to the chachamim, Imam Moroi shall sheni Maimer. If Shimon's Maimer is considered halachically making her his wife, Eisha sheni hu boil. So then, when Shimon dies, she's considered Shimon's wife. Vim Mamor shall sheni ain't a Maimer, and halachically it's nothing, then Eishes Reuven hu Rishon hu boil, she's still considered Reuven's wife. So what do we see here? It's not just the concept of Zika that connects Reuven's widow to Shimon. It's the Maimer that Shimon did to her. So now the Gemara's question is, we began to the Shia today that says, Rabbi Oishi says that according to Shimon, we apply a concept of Zika Kiknusa. The moment she falls, she's considered Shimon's wife. Here we see that that's not adequate. According to Shimon, you need Maimer to be coupled with the Zika. So Taisa says, really, the Gemara could have answered that Rav Shimon was not expressing his own position. He was speaking to the Chachamim. I hold that Zika is enough. But even you who don't hold Zika Kiknusa, here we have Maimer on top of the Zika. But Abaya says a different teretz. Amalei Abaya, V'leishoni lach ben Zikas Yavim Echad l'Zikas Shnei Yavim. Let's understand this case. Reuven died. How many brothers did he leave? Two brothers. Shimon and Levi. Since either brother could do Yibam, that's why there's no Zika. When at the beginning of the Shia today we said that if Shimon holds Zika Kiknusa, and when a brother dies, the halacha looks at her widow, as his widow, as if she's already married to the other brother, that's only in a circumstance where he's the only brother. So she has nowhere else to go but to that brother. But if the brother who died left over more than one brother, so we don't know where she's going, isn't there a difference? There we don't say Zika Kiknusa. So now we limited Zika Kiknusa. We started the shiur with Zika Kiknusa, and now we're saying Zika Kiknusa is only applicable when there's one brother who died, who left over one brother. V'lo sharilach ben Zikas Yavim Echel Zikas Shnei Yavamim. Dima, ki amar Rabbi Shimon, when does Rabbi Shimon apply the concept of Zika Kiknusa Dami B'Yavim Echad? Because there's going to have to be a relationship between this left, between this surviving brother and his sister-in-law. Abba Shnei Yavamim, in the case that the Gemara just discussed, where Reuven died and he left two brothers, Loi. There he doesn't say Zika Kiknusa. So we could now understand everything. Rav Shimon really holds Zika Kiknusa. Why in this price that we this mission that we just learned, did he also have to have Maimer? Because there was more than one Yavam. And we only say Zika Kiknusa when there's only one Yavam. Ask the Gemara, on Mishana Leila Rav Shimon, does Rav Shimon draw the distinction between when there's one Yavam that he says Zika Kiknusa, and when there's more than one Yavam, he won't say Zika Kiknusa? But Tananya, we learned in a brisa. Klal Amar Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon makes the rule. Kol Shalei de Koidemus L'Nisuin. Again, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven dies, and Levi is born before Shimon takes Reuven's wife as a wife. Loi Chaletzus V'Loi Mus Yabemus. Even if after Shimon dies, Levi cannot do Yibam with Reuven's former widow, former wife. However, Nisun Kaidim Leida, if Reuven dies, Shimon does Yibam and Reuven's widow, and only then is Levi born, then Levi could do Yibam with the woman who was once married to Reuven. My love, isn't this brisa referring to the situation of B'Yavim Echad? That Shimon was only the only surviving brother of Reuven. And yet the brisa teaches us that if Levi was born before Shimon took Reuven's widow as a wife, obviously, because if Shimon doesn't subscribe to Zika Kiknusa, says the Gemara Loi, this brisa is referring to a situation that was Shnei Yavamim. Since when Reuven died, he left two brothers, Shimon and Yehuda. And we just said a moment ago that there, even Rav Shimon agrees, we can't say Zika Kiknusa, because we don't know which brother she's going to end up with. That's why if Levi was born before either of the brothers did Yibam with Reuven's widow, that's why there Rav Shimon will agree that this woman will no longer ever be a candidate for Yibam or Chalitza from Levi who was born at this after Reuven died. Avol by Yav Mechot, but in our situation, where there was only one brother, Reuven and Shimon, as soon as Reuven dies, even if Levi is born before Shimon actually takes her as a wife, because of Zika Knusa. Ask the Gemara if that is indeed the case. So the Braisa wanted to teach us where Rav Shimon holds that we don't have a problem with Eshesach Shloyai Balomai. What was the case the Braisa said? That if Levi was born only after Shimon, the Jibam Mechalitza. The Braisa could have given us a different case. The Braisa could have told us that even if Levi was born before Shimon did Yibam or Chalitza, did Yibam. As long as Shimon is the only brother, Zika Keknusa. That's the Gemara's question. Why did the Braisa have to speak about a case that Shimon did Yibam before Levi was born? And that's the case that when Shimon dies, Levi will do Yibam and Shimon's wife, who was originally Reuven's wife. We could have said a bigger chiddush. When was this said? That only if they're two Yivamim, there it makes a difference when Levi was born. Was he born before Shimon took her as a wife or after? If there's only one Yavam, Shimon is the only surviving brother to Levi. Even if Levi is born before Shimon takes Reuven's widow as a wife, the halacha should be halatzus of Mesia Bemis. Why didn't the Braisa say it? Answers the Gemara, kula b'shnei yavam k'mayri. That is indeed the din. But the Braisa wanted to keep on speaking about a case that Reuven left two brothers. But eno chanami, if Reuven left only one brother, we apply the concept of Zika Keknusa, and makes no difference when Levi was born, whether he was born before Shimon did Yibam or after Shimon did Yibam. Ask the Gemara my klala. But the Braisa here began with a rule. And now we said there were exceptions to the rule. The Braisa says it makes a difference when Levi is born. Now we're saying it makes a difference if Shimon's the only surviving brother. So it's not a hard and fast rule. And then Gemara asks another question. Void Masra Vaishya. Gimel Achim. We have three brothers. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Shnai Mem Nesun Shtei Achyos. Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters. Rachel and Leah. Aisha Bita. Or Reuven's married to Yecheved, and Shimon is married to Miriam, her daughter. Or Isha Bas Pita, one brother is married to a mother, to a woman, and the other brother is married to a granddaughter. It could be a granddaughter because she's a Bas Pita, or Isha Bas Pana. The halacha is, Harei Elu Choltzois V'loi Misyabmais. So now, when these two brothers die, what's the halacha? That Levi, who has these two women, who are sisters, Reuven died and Shimon died, so the two widows are sisters, cannot do Yibam with either sister. Why? Because each sister is an Achoitz Zukukasai. Rav Shimon Paiter. Rav Shimon says they're entirely exempt from Yibam. The Gemara will explain why in a moment. Ask the Gemara. V'isal kedaitach. Beautiful kasha. If we're going to hold, k'sav Rav Shimon Zukukasai damya, Rav Shimon holds Zikas Keknusa. So let's understand the situation. Reuven died first. If Reuven died first, there are two brothers left, Shimon and Levi. Shimon is not a candidate because Reuven's wife is his sister-in-law. So the only one that could do Yibam to Reuven's widow is Levi. What does Zika Keknusa tell us? That she's considered Levi's wife. Now Shimon dies. So yes, he can't do Yibam with Shimon's wife. She's the sister of his Yavama, of his Shemeres Yavam, but why can't he do Yibam with Reuven's wife? V'sal k'daitach, asked the Gemara, k'sav Rav Shimon Zika k'knusa dame, la'avim l'kamaisa, he should do Yibam with Reuven's wife, he should be allowed to do Yibam with Reuven's wife, but tifte idach, as the sister of his wife. Says the Gemara, Amram, my paita, what does Rav Shimon mean when he says that she's not a candidate for Yibam? He only means the second one that became a widow. Indeed, Reuven, who died first, and his wife, is allowed to have Yibam to Levi. Ask the Gemara, that's not what the Braisa says. The Tanya of Shimon Paita B'Shteim, he says both of them are exempt. Amar Rava, so Rava has a different way of explaining the Braisa. He says that the case here is not as we explained, that there are two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, married to two sisters. What happened here is, There's two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, and each have two wives. Reuven has a wife, Rachel, and Shimon has a wife, sister, so they're brother-in-law, they're married to two sisters. And Reuven has another wife, Yocheved, and Shimon has another wife, Miriam, a mother and a daughter. And what Rav Shimon means to say is that the wives of the second brother who dies, two wives, because he had two wives, are both exempt from Yibam. Why are they both exempt from Yibam? Because since Reuven died first, so these two women fall to Levi for Yibam. So now when Shimon dies, the two women of Shimon's two wives are related to Levi's two Shomeres Yavams. It's either a mother and a daughter or two sisters. That's what he means, the second one. Actually, as the Rishonim point out, there are really three women exempt. The two wives of Shimon and the other wife of Reuven, because Yibam is only done to one wife. But the reason the Gemara only focuses, according to Rava, says the Rishonim, on Shimon's wives, because Reuven's wife are really both eligible for Yibam. One, but we only do Yibam for one, and the other one is a shliach for the other remaining, for the other wife. Amarava, shniya shebesug zeh, a shniya shebesug zeh. That means all of the second wives of Shimon, all of Shimon's second wives. Ask the Gemara, that can't be pshat. Katoy Rava ba'abazugi. Rava is saying, Rava has a misinterpretation of what the Braisa means when it speaks about four pairs. Because Chada, the oid oiktani. The way Rava explains, Reuven is married to two women, and Shimon is married to two women. But the way the Braises read, each one is married only to one, just the two wives are relatives. Void of Shimon point about Bosma Boile. According to the way he's learning, all of these women are exempt. But Shimon only speaks about the second one, about the two wives. It should be all four wives. Void. Tanya, Rav Shimon point of Shneim, Menchalitza Menayibim, Shneim of Isha Lachoisa Lesikach Litzrar, Vishar Shinasa Tzrar Zulazu, Layelacha Lukuchanafil Baxmahan. Rav Shimon says, going back to the way we understand the Braisa, Reuven is married to one sister, Shimon is married to another sister. Now the Braisa is saying that Rav Shimon says that since Levi has these two sisters as candidates for Yibam, and these two sisters are sisters to each other, so we have a situation of Achoysa Kukosoi, and both are exempt. And the question comes back, if Zika Kiknusa, when Reuven died, Reuven's widow becomes Levi's wife, she should be eligible for Yibam, and Shimon's wife, who died after Reuven, should be totally exempt. Elam Ravashi, says Ravashi, you're right. Either Nofa Bezechazeh, if Reuven died first, and then Shimon died, Reuven and Shimon being married to sisters, Hachinami, Rav Shimon subscribing to the concept of Zika Kiknusa, will hold that Reuven's wife is eligible for Yibum, and Shimon's widow is completely exempt. Hachinami skin. However, what is the situation that this Bryce is referring to, and we alluded to this earlier in the shir, the Nafal Basachas, that Reuven and Shimon died at the exact same moment. So we don't have a situation that Reuven died first and his widow became Zika Kiknusa to Levi, and then only afterwards Shimon died. Reuven and Shimon died at the exact same moment, and it's going according Rav Shimon Sovel Rav Yosef Glili. Rav Shimon holds like Rav Yosef Glili, Dama Efshel Tzamtzem, that the halacha views that two different things can happen at the same moment. Rav Yosef Glili says his halacha regarding Bechor. We know that the firstborn animal has a din of a Bechor. Why would be the halacha if an animal has two animals, that's twins, and we don't know which one came out first? So do we say that one came out before the other? Rav Yosef Glili says we could say that both came out at the exact same moment. And therefore the halacha would be, according to the man, the Omer, that says, E.F. Shalot Samtzim, that the halacha does not view as two things being able to happen at the same time. Only one is a Bechor and one is not Bechor. We don't know which one is which, and therefore the halacha is that both have to be treated with Kedusha's Bechor, but only one is Bechor. Rav Yosef Glili says it's possible for two things to happen at the exact same moment. Similarly, it's possible that Reuven and Shimon should die at the exact same moment. If that's the case, now we have very geschmack pshat. Reuven and Shimon died at the exact same moment, so we can't apply Zika Kiknusa to say first Reuven's wife was Knusa to Levi, and then Shimon's wife, because Reuven and Shimon died at the exact same moment. But if they would die, tackle first Reuven and then Shimon, Rav Shimon, who applies the concept according to Rav Oshia of Zika Keknusa, would indeed hold that Reuven's wife would be eligible for Yibam to Levi, and Shimon's wife, being a sister of hers, would be completely exempt. The Mefarshim, just for one moment, explained this concept of Efshel Tzamtzum, Efshel Tzamtzum. It's a very difficult way to understand a Machlokes. The way we explain the Machlokes is, can two things happen simultaneously, or could two things not happen simultaneously? How could you argue over a fact? So Mefarshim explained that everybody agrees that two things can happen mamish the exact same moment. It could look to us like it's the exact same moment, but it's really not the exact same split second. The Rabbanon hold, since we agreed that it didn't happen at the exact same moment, it didn't happen at the same moment. Rabbi Yosef Glili, however, says, Lo nitna tayr l'malach ha'sharis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't expect us to live like malachim. If to us, with our eyes, it looks like it happened the exact same moment, even though deep down we know that there must have been there was a fraction of a second different, since to us it looks like it happened at the same time, it is considered halachically like it happened at the same time. So till now we've been explaining Rav Oshi's understanding of Rav Shimon. And as we said, Rav Oshi's understanding of Rav Shimon is that Zika Keknusa, and the moment, provided that there's only one brother, going back to our example, if Reuven died, and when Reuven died he only had one brother, Shimon, so therefore Zika Keknusa, the halacha views this woman as Shimon's wife, so even if Shimon did not do Yibum yet, and Levi was born, Levi would still, after Shimon does Yibum, and Shimon dies, Levi would do Yibum in this woman. Rapapa disagrees. Where does Rav Shimon disagree with Rabbanon? If Reuven dies, Shimon takes Reuven's widow as a wife, and then only Levi was born. However, in a case where Levi was born before Shimon took Reuven's widow as a wife, Lepigli. There's no machlokes. Ask the Gemara, what forced Rav Oshi into this pshat to have this definition of Rav Shimon? Because we asked in the previous year, why do we need two mishnayos, the first mishnah of the parak, the second mishnah of the parak, to express the sheet of the Rabbanan? That's what got Rav Oshi to explain the way he explained. But now, if we're not learning the way Rav Oshi learns, we come back to our original kasha, why do we need these two mishnayos? Says the Gemara, v'tfai Rabbanan itzrach. Both Mishnayos represent the sheet of the Rabbanan. V'loizu avsuptani. Many times we have Mishnayos that don't teach us anything new. So Enochanami, once we learn the second Mishnah, that teaches us that even if Shimon took Reuven's widow in Yibum, Levi was born afterwards, the halacha is that Levi will not do Yibum in this woman. Certainly if Levi was born before Shimon took her, which is the case of the first Mishnah, is not necessary, but v'loizu avsuptani. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasa Rapapa, there's a brisa that seems to point like Rapapa. The Tiyufta the Rabbi Yishu, which would be a question of Rabbi Yishu. It says in the brisa, Shnei Achim Ba'olam Echad. Reuven and Shimon are in the world together. Omei Sechem Bloy Vlad, and Reuven passes away. V'amen Hashem is Elasis Mam B'Yivintoy. And Shimon's about to do Mimer in Reuven's widow. V'lay Hispa glasses by Mimer. And before he has an opportunity to do Mimer, Ach Loy Loy Ach. Levi is born. Until Levi is born, for Mace, and then Shimon dies. Harishaina, Reuven's wife, Yoitz Mishim Eshes Achav Shlohay Belomai. Because Levi to Reuven's wife is Eshes Achav Shlohay Belomai. Vishnia, and Shimon's wife, Shimon and Levi were in the world together, Oicheletzis, Oimus Yabemis. Continues the Braisa, Osba Maimer. If Shimon did Maimer in Reuven's widow, V'ach Kach Noilach, and then Levi is born, or Levi was born even before Shimon had the opportunity to do Maimer, Vakak Osba Maimer, Umeis, and then Shimon dies. Harishani Yoitz Mishim Eshach Shloya Balamai. It's considered Eshach Shloya Balamai. Vishneya Chaletz Sulemus Yabemis. This is the sheet of the Rabbanim. Rav Shimon Aimer, Rav Shimon says, Viosoi Chalitzosoi Shalachs Mempetes Sarosoi. Doing bia or even to one of them, and the Gemara will explain which one, will exempt the other one. And the Gemara explains, Cholitz Labalas Maimer, if Levi will do Chalitza to Reuven's widow, who Shimon did Maimer to, and as the Rishonim explained, he can't do Yibam, Because if the Maimer is ineffective, who is she? She's Reuven's widow. It's Eish Yisachar Shalai Balamai. You can't have relations with Eish Yisachar Shalai Balamai. That won't help Hatzara. That won't help Lainiftet Rasa. That won't help Shimon's other wife. Why won't it help Shimon's other wife? Because they might have never been co-wives if the Maimer is ineffective. However, Lainiftet Rasa, Kants of a mace, but if you do, well, we have to speak out. If he does Yibam or Chalitza to Shimon's wife, Memanavshach, it'll take care of Reuven's widow. Let's think it through. If she's not considered Shimon's wife because Maimer is meaningless, so then she's an Eish Yisachar Shalai Balamai. So she's Potter from anything from Levi. If, on the other hand, Maimer did make her Shimon's wife, so Shimon had two wives, and as soon as he did Yibam Chalitza to one wife, it exempts the other wife. Kants of a mace. Why would be the halacha if Shimon did Yibum and Reuven's widow, and only then Achach Noila Layach, Oish Noila Layach, Vachach Kants of a mace, or if he had a brother, and then afterwards Shimon did Yibum and he died, Shteim Paturus Min Chalitza Min Yibum. That's the second case. Only Kants of a Noila Layach, only in a case where Shimon married her, and only then was Levi born. Vachach meis, and then Shimon dies. Shteim p'turus min chaleitz min ayivim. Div Rameya. Again, Rameya holds that makes no difference if Levi was born after or before Shimon doing Yibam. This woman got the status of an eishes och shloi belomai that never leaves her. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon disagrees. Rav Shimon says hoyle matzah beheter. In this last case, where Shimon did Yibum before Levi was born, so since there was Le'omdal of Sha'ach Spisser, there was never even one moment that Levi knew her as a wife that's also to him, because when he came to the world, she was already Shimon's wife, Miyam Le'ezah Shirtza, so they're both considered Shimon's wives, so when Shimon dies, he could do Yibum to either or Chayot Le'ezah Shirtza. So now the Gemara analyzes this price. Ha'baba the Seif L'man K'tanilah. We just learned a last case of this brisa that speaks about a specific situation. That Shimon did Yibum, and only after Shimon doing Yibum did Levi get born. Now, who is this brisa trying to address when mentioning this case? Ilem l'Ramei K'tanilah. It was saying, according to Ramei, who represents the Shita of the Rabbanan, Michti, Lo'shan le'le Ramei. Ramei doesn't draw a distinction ben Yevam v'achkach noilet. According to me, it makes no difference if Levi was born before Shimon did Yibam or after did Shimon Yibam. Levinu v'lesninu. So why doesn't the Brisa combine all of the cases? Let's look at the Brisa again. The Brisa spoke, Kants of a mes, v'achach noil o'yach, o'sh noil o'yach, v'achach kants of a mes, shtem p'tus min chalitz min Yibam. That was the case, the second part of the Brisa. According to Rameya, Dalocha, the Brisa says it very clearly, both are potter. We see, explains Taisus, that this Brisa has no problem combining cases. So the last case is also, according to Rameya, potter min chalitza min ayibam. So why doesn't the Brisa combine all three cases? Why does the Brisa differentiate between these two cases and the last case? It must be, come to tell me Rav Shimon, Hababa the Seifel Man K'tanilah. So Levin of Lesninu, the Brice already showed a precedent that it mixes cases together. El Lav, it must be coming to teach us according to Shimon. And strictly in a case of the Yibim, that Shimon first did Yibim, and Achkach Noilid, Polig, that's where he disagrees with Rav Meir. However, Noilid, in a case where Levi was born, v'achkach yibam, and only afterwards did Shimon do yibam, loy polik. There, Shimon will agree with Rabbanan, he'll agree with Rameya, that this is a situation of Eish Yisachar Shalai Balamai, as Rav Papa explained Rav Shimon, and Rav Papa limits Rav Shimon's heter strictly to the case of yibam v'achkach noilad, not to the case of noilad v'achkach yibam. Shema mina. This is the way we understand Rav Papa. Continues the Gemara, in understanding this brisa. The Brice is somewhat difficult. The Brice spoke about an interesting story. The second brother, Reuven died, And Shimon wanted to do Maimer in Reuven's widow. For his big loss was Maimer Vimtoi. But he never got the opportunity. Until Levi was born. Vimeis. And then again, Shimon dies. The loch is Rishani Yotim Shim Eish Sachar Shlaya Belamai. The first wife, Reuven's wife is considered Reuven's wife. No ability to do Yibam with Levi, because Eish Sachar Shlaya Belamai. The Shnia and Shimon's wife, Shimon and Levi both having lived in the world at the same time, is a full-fledged candidate for Yibam. Oich Letzis Oimus Yabemis. Ask the Gemara, why does the Brice have to tell me a story? He wanted to do Maimur and he never had opportunity to do Maimur. What's the difference? My Amid or my Lehispik. What's the difference? He wanted to, he didn't have. E Ovid. If Maimur was done, Ovid was done. V'loy Ovid, loy Ovid. What's the difference that the Brice has to tell us he wanted to do it? Why does that have any bearing? Says the Gemara. El Amid Midato. V'lehispik Midato El Bekorcho. The Gemara says that the Brice is coming to teach me a new din. It's coming to teach me then that the person wanted to do Maimer with the consent of the Yavama, but he never had an opportunity to do the Maimer until the Yavama should agree, so he did it without her agreement. And the Machlokes here is, and the Shaila of the Brice is, does Maimer require the consent of the Yavama? Because we have two concepts in Halacha. We have one concept in Halacha of Kedushin. Everybody knows the condition requires the consent of the wife. Yibum, on the other hand, everybody knows, doesn't require the consent of the Yavama. We're going to learn Sugyas and Mitzvashem that say if the husband does Bia with the wife, with the Yavama, even if it was neither of them realized what they were doing, she becomes his wife. Now the question is Maimer. To what do we compare Maimer to? Do we compare Maimer to Kedushin, and therefore we need a consent? Or do we compare Maimer to Yibum? We don't need consent. Teach us the Gemara that our Brice is teaching us that Maimer requires consent, not like Rebbe, who says that Maimer doesn't require consent. A Dwight to Rebbe. The Tanya, Oysa Maimer B'Yavimta Shloim Edata. If somebody did Maimer without the consent of the Yavama, Rebbe Oymekana, you don't need a consent for Maimer. V'chom Maimer Loikana. My time of the Rebbe, why does Rebbe hold that consent is not required? Goma M'Biya the Yavama. Like we just speak about Yibam. Ma di bia di yavama bal karcha, just like Yibam is done without her consent, af kedushin di yavama, even the maimer, which is like a kedushin, is also done, can be done without her consent. Bal karcha. Rabban and Gamri kedush talma. Rabban say that maimer is like every kedushin. Ma kedushin da almi, just like every kedushin, midata, requires her consent, af kedushin di yavama, even though she's a yavama, midata. What is the machlokes? The mykemiflgi. What is the basis of the machlokes or may in the chachamim? Mar sova, Rebbe who holds that maimer doesn't require consent, learns mila di yavama mila di yavama. We're all dealing with yibam. Havle lemeim mila di yavama mila di yavama havle lemeim. We learn all the halachas of yibam. Just like yibam can be done by karcha, so to the maimer and the yavama can be done by karcha. Or mar sova and the rabbanon hold mila kedushin. Maimer is a form of kedushin, just like all kedushin have to be done with das. So too, even this kedushin, which the kedushin to Yavama, has to be done with das. Before we go further, Rashi says, why does kedushin have to be done with das? Because the pasuk says, "V'holcha v'hoyselish acher." So she only goes with das. V'holcha v'hoysel. She knew what she's doing. Hoysel is lashon havaya, lashon kedushin. Ask the Chasam Sofer. The Gemara Masechet Kedushin teaches us another reason why Kedushin needs Das. Because Kedushin is like a sale. The woman is selling herself to the husband. And every sale requires the consent of the buyer and the seller. Why doesn't Rashi say that? That's the fundamental concept of Kedushin. Says the Chasam Sofer. What Rashi is teaching us is, here Yibam certainly doesn't require consent. So if the entire reason that Kedushin requires consent is because it's a buyer and a seller, this is not a regular situation of a buyer and seller. That's why Rashi quotes the pasuk of Aholcha V'Hoyselish Acher, to teach us that a fundamental element of Kedushin is Das, consent. And without it, we don't have a Kedushin. So asks the Chasam Sofer, so if we have Aholcha V'Hoyselish Acher, so why do we ever need the other concept that the Gemara says in Masechta Kedushin, that you need the buyer and seller's consent? We should always just refer to the pasuk of Aholcha V'Hoyselish Acher. Ask the Chasam Sofer, why would be the halacha if there's a nara? She's a girl between 12 and 12 and a half. So she has the ability to do the holch of a hoyselish acher. But she's not the seller, because she's still in the rishus of her father. So there, the holch of a hoyselish acher is satisfied, but that's kaina maknas not. That's why the Gemara Masechta the Kedushin has to teach us both concepts. One more piece of Gemara. Also the Maimer. We learned that if he did Maimer in this woman, Vachach Noila Laach, and Levi was born, or Levi was born, Vachach Osba Maimer, the mace, and then Shimon died. The loch is, Rishani Yoitim Shem Eshes Achash Loi Belomoi, the Shnia, and the second wife, Chaletzis Veloimus Yabemis. She only is a concept of Chalitza. Why? Because since there was a Maimer, so the Rabbanan are not sure what did that Maimer accomplish, as the two Mishnais taught us. Rav Shimon Omer, and we already explained this on top of the Amid. Rav Shimon Haikoi, which case is Rav Shimon saying this thing? If Rav Shimon is referring to the case that first Levi was born, Vachkach, Osba Maimer, only afterwards did Shimon do Maimer in Reuven's widow, Ha'amrit, we said, but Noilid, if Levi was born, or Ubsai Fibim, and only afterwards did Shimon do Yivim and Reuven's widow, but Pelagrav Shimon. Why is Rav Shimon arguing in Tanakhama? That's a case that Rav Shimon holds the Levi will never do Yivim with Reuven's widow. Ella says the Gemara, the case is referring to this. Osba Mamer, Shimon did Maimer in Reuven's widow, Vakach Noiloyach, and then Levi was born. Cholitz Labalas Maimer, if Levi does Chalitza to Shimon's to Reuven's widow that Shimon did Maimer to when Nifter Tzara. That won't help Shimon's wife. Why? My Tam Shum David Tzara Vadai. Shimon's wife is certainly Shimon's wife. Or Baal's Maimer, we don't know if she considered Shimon's wife or not. Because we don't know if Maimer, as we've been learning, or if Shimon's not sure, is Maimer full-fledged good or meaningless? And Sofik Meitz B'dei Vadai. Since Shimon's wife certainly requires Yibim Mechalitza, the Baalas Maimer, Rav Shimon doesn't know how to identify. That's why Rav Shimon tells us, do Yibam and Chalitza on Shimon's wife, and the woman who was Reuven's widow that Shimon did Maimer to will be completely exempt. Because of Manavshach. If she's considered Reuven's wife because Maimer is meaningless, she's Eshesach Shlohe Balomai. If on the other hand, Maimer is meaningful, so she's Shimon's wife. But Levi already did Yibam and Chalitza to the other wife, which exempts the Tzara. Thank you.